recent study commissioned by the Government of Canada found that there's more to life than just hockey. Hey, just relax now. I know what you're thinking. That's why we here at Pucked in the Head are proud to bring you Hockey Songs. All right, thanks for joining us. My name is Jason Carello. I'm here with Pucked in the Head Hockey Songs. I'm here with my friend Jamie McDonald.
Hello.
And we are here to talk about a little Canadian band by the name of Rheostatics.
Why, yes, we are.
The Rheostatics are not even a household name in Canada, really.
Oh, no. Amazingly inventive art, really a mix of a whole bunch of different styles because of their members who were influenced in a variety of different ways, of course, and mixed into a band that was almost, at sometimes, musical theater. Disjointed, mix-mashed, odd.
A very odd band.
Yeah.
For most Canadians, the biggest name attached to this group is going to be the lead singer.
Yeah, and that probably more to his career writing, almost.
And that's Dave Bedini,
yeah.
Who, since his time as the lead singer and guitarist, I believe.
Well, one of the singers there.
Right.
You got to consider Martincelli, too.
Of course.
But yeah.
So Dave Bedini, he was one of the driving forces behind Rheostatics. He has gone on to a writing career that has included several books, including On a Cold Road, mm-hmm. which is about the Canadian rock scene through the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Yep.
Also, Tropic of Hockey, which is an excellent read. Have you read that?
No.
It's a lot of fun. Yep. It's about...
I've read his Cold Road book. That's amazing.
Also writes for the Globe and Mail newspaper, and he does a bunch of different kinds of lifestyle and features about life. Mm-hmm. In Canada. Well, he took...
Cultural things.
Cultural features. And he took a trip around the world trying to find true grassroots hockey. Not what we've got in Canada, where even at 6 years old, kids are being coached and into systems with full gear. And they're not really allowed to enjoy the game. So he went to Upper Mongolia. He went to Dubai.
Hockey in Dubai.
He went to these tournaments in places that are... They take the term non-traditional hockey market and they really, really stretch it.
Oh.
As far as it can go.
Bettman's nose is getting out there. He's looking.
I mean, you think it's weird to have a team in Raleigh,
mm-hmm.
North Carolina.
I do. Even if they once won something.
It's bizarre to hear him writing about a tournament in the middle of the desert where it's... 40 degrees outside, but they have spent all this money to create an ice rink and it's got a glass wall so you can see the desert expanding outwards while you're skating around this.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you imagine your little pickup game and you're yelling, "Camel!"
So anyway, that's how most Canadians now really know Dave Bedini and his trademark hat. However, they also have really contributed a lot of really interesting things to the Canadian music scene. So Dave Bedini, Tim Veasley, Dave Clark, Dave Crosby, these guys all got together as the Rheostatics in 1980 in Etobicoke, Ontario.
Yes, not quite Toronto.
Not quite Toronto. It's a famous mining town, isn't it?
Etobicoke is a suburb of Toronto.
Isn't it a mining town in northern Ontario somewhere?
I think they mine Toronto.
Am I romanticizing this place?
Well, you're a few miles, or as we say in Canada, kilometers away.
So it's just a suburb of Toronto.
Yeah.
I was trying to romanticize it and it failed miserably.
All right. But yeah,
is that like calling New Jersey a mining town?
I think it's a little bit on par. We actually have to think about when the Rheostatics came to the scene, 1980. They were kind of growing up as a band, through really the brightest, poppiest, shiniest part of the 80s music scene.
But as far as independent music goes, this is the rise of bands like
REM. This is the first of the independent kind of option coming along, too. But of course, it's the Canadian version of the independent option.
Right.
Athens, Georgia still has an awful lot more pull than
Etobicoke. Than the mining town of Etobicoke.
The mining town of Etobicoke.
Etobicoke, yes. Ontario.
Yeah.
I really want it to be a mining town.
It's, well, you know, and if you don't get the black lung, your only other way out is singing.
and going up the street.
That's
to
right.
Young Street to a
exactly.
cafe on Young Street.
And so the young rheostatics would, you know, get out of the mine somewhere at 9 o'clock at the end of a long shift, and they would get their music. Yeah, they would get their music and pull their suitcases down to the side corner of Young Street and start playing for the passersby and
right, raising money to feed the canaries in the coal
that's
mine.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Contribute to safety.
So originally, did you know the original name of the band?
No.
They were originally called Rheostatics and the Trans-Canada Soul
okay.
Patrol.
Well, yeah, because they started basically as this little club band that had a huge horn section. Kind of a throw-together thing, if I read it correctly, the Rheostatics fans know much better than I do. I more or less, I kept finding little bits of their career when they'd hit things like college radio with, well, let's say, The Ballad of Wendell Clark.
And this is why we're here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In their early singles, before they had a deal, before they had any kind of record...
Before they really had an identity, too. You kind of have to see, you see them growing up in a track like this against some of their later work. You know, a little bit later down the road, you've got Record Body Count, and here you have a song that has a part one and a part two, and honestly they don't really feel like they should be together. It's just elected that they were.
This is really heavily influenced by the Gordon Lightfoot type of ballad. I mean, it's even called a ballad, just like...
It's called a ballad, sure.
Right. And was it meant to be serious? It was meant to be kind of a spoof of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald and those
Which is
of...
another thing that this band has covered. They've got
they
a
have
beautiful,
covered that. That's true.
Beautiful version of the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
But that's where this was coming from. I mean, there was a sense of humor
yeah, yeah.
here.
Right? Send Up, Parody, Lampoon, Dada, even, in some kind of ways. But, you know, hard to see straight ballad from it. The only time it gets, you know, descriptive in terms of, you know, an attempt is in part two. Part one is kind of ethereal, perhaps a little bit expressionistic.
I don't want to get into too much about the Ballad of Wendell Clark specifically right
okay.
now, because we're going to play the song in a moment.
Oh, sure.
But first of all, just some impressions for you as a musician growing up in Winnipeg. You started to really get serious about music and record about when?
Probably around 1987 was the time that I started first going into music studios.
Okay, and so were Rheostatics on your radar at that point?
Yeah, they were. They were sort of showing up as an alternative band in... You know, well, the first flush of the video age. They benefited immensely by being in the northern mining town of Etobicoke on the outskirts of Toronto, and ended up on all kinds of Toronto-centric media bursts that, you know, in Canada we're very familiar with.
Right.
Much Music certainly helped them out. I got to see a few of their videos, of course, late night, you know, Friday, Saturday nights, just flipping around the channels.
This was not a band that was writing about the typical... You know, boy meets girl, boy loses girl.
No.
I mean, they had an entire theme album about the artwork
of the group
of group of seven. I mean, these guys
and they
literate, not just literate in books, but literate in art, literate in other types of music.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think possibly the thing you can say is that they were illiterate enough that there wasn't enough of an audience to follow them. They would make references, musical references, count, you know, cross references, all kinds of things, just much in the way that you might imagine Frank Zappa doing with his kind of act.
Right.
Or, you know, in another way, very popish, but, you know, they might be giants out of New York.
So they had a 70s sensibility with 80s pop environment around them.
I'm not sure I'd say a 70s sensibility. I'm not sure that that's what the Rios are. But
now, I have to admit, myself, I don't know a lot about Rheostatics.
Mm-hmm. And this is the thing. I think a lot of people know about the name, and there might be a few people that have only ever heard Claire by the Rheostatics, or, you know, a few things where Claire was their only top 40 hit, for example, just to make it clear. Although they're kind of a just under the horizon band in terms of influencing everything else that happened in Canada, at least among the bands that, you know, give a nod to art or, you know, spend a little bit of time thinking about what are my lyrics going to mean. what's my phrasing going to be, rather than, hey, let's kick it out tonight. Thinking man stuff, thinking girl stuff, because of that, they didn't get to play anything as large as, for example, Massey Hall until the end of their career.
So on that note, let's spin it.
Okay. Wendell Clark, hockey. It works.
And Wendell Clark, for those of you who are newer fans to hockey, this is not a guy who was a flashy superstar. This is not Wayne Gretzky. This is not Mario Lemieux.
No, this is the grit guy. The grit guy that can put in, what was he, you know, maybe 30 goals a year?
Oh, no, he had a 40-goal year.
40-goal season?
Yeah, he was a 40-goal man for the Leafs. Okay. But he also probably had more than 40 fights that year.
Yeah, exactly. He was working on the Gordie Howe hat trick kind of plan, wasn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was a hard-nosed player.
Don't call me Wendy.
Got a friend in BC. Know some winders kissing New York. And I wanna buy a motorcycle and cut up to some farm somewhere around this Cashit County, where the hills are round and green, around and all this jamming gives me like listening to earthquakes, all wired up for rock and roll. Mama only listens to the radio. Papa only watches hockey games. This suburb rocks with the Eddie Van Wailers, God Save the Queen. Which made you a moron.
As it was just sort of saying as we were listening to it, it's almost more of a send-up than a song. It's patched together a few little genres and make fun of them.
It's a series of vignettes, really, is what it is.
Well, which is kind of what his career was, a series of vignettes. I mean, he'd be the hottest guy in the league for the first 20 games, and he'd be on pace to break every Gretzky record.
And then he'd break three bones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what you get when you don't really know what kind of game you play. Right? I mean, he was a skilled guy.
Ah, so good.
For a while.
Who could fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was the Leafs in the early 80s and mid 80s, they needed everything. They didn't have a goon. They didn't have a pure scorer. So Wendell felt like he needed to fill all of those roles at the same time.
Sort of like now.
Well, Wendell Clark is their go-to guy now, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's coming out.
So somebody's got to score the goals.
Yeah, opportunivore.
It's Wendell Clark at this time. He was the forerunner of the Doug Gilmore. Both of these guys, they were not pure skill guys. They were not pure goon guys. They had a bit of everything.
Right, mm-hmm. Just like this song. You know, we're crossing over from one genre to another genre, and we're kind of mixing them up, and we don't exactly know where we're going to go.
Some nice harmonies in this song.
Well, yeah, in kind of down-home kind of way.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah.
Which is where it comes from. I mean, even if you YouTube the video mm-hmm. for it, which we just did.
Yeah,
I mean,
give it
it's a down-home video as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's just footage from around the remote northern mining town of Etobicoke.
Just outside the other remote northern community of Toronto.
This is a long, long way from civilization, this place.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, these are hearty people.
Yeah, these are...
And there you have it. That's as much as we know about the Rheostatic.
Dave Bedini, if you're out there, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He would completely agree with us on everything except for what we said.
Yes.
Thank you, boys, for coming out. Jamie McDonald and joining us late, Derek McDonald. Two of the brothers who are in the Orchid Highway. Of course, as you know, the Orchid Highway provides both the opening theme music and the closing theme music of the Pucked in the Head podcast. Okay. Thanks, boys.
All right. See ya.
Take care. Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stomach, and we're ready for fame. But I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too normal now, and once it seems so strange, time